The views stated by the hosts of this podcast are opinion only and should not take the place of a qualified healthcare professional or mental health specialist. This podcast is for education and recreation. Welcome to Ask a Hag, a podcast about self-care and witchcraft in the modern world. I am Allison.
And I'm Leslie.
And we are asked questions every day in the work we do within our community. And this podcast is a space for us where we can share our knowledge and experience as witches and healers. This is a place where you, dear listener, can find inspiration and also feel empowered wherever you are on your journey. Hooray!
Hi.
Hi, my friend.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well. Yeah, I'm very well. Hanging in there.
Excellent. Me too.
I was hoping to record from our sheet fort downstairs, but Jim's made himself very comfortable in there.
You have a sheet fort? That's fantastic.
Yeah, we do. Jim made it. It's more like a sheet canopy.
Okay. Yeah.
But
cozy.
Jim did it last week, and then we got it all cozy with like little fairy lights and everything.
Oh,
and we've
my
been
gosh.
Digging it.
That's really sweet.
We've been digging it.
Are you able to see the TV from it? Can you watch a movie or something?
Yeah, we can.
That's wonderful. Oh,
yeah.
You guys. That's so nice.
Yeah, you know, we're having fun with it.
That's
so
awesome. I'm glad. That's great. Yep.
How about you? Yeah.
We're doing good too. Yeah. So we're doing another podcast during the you know, this stay in place situation. Donna and I went.
Donna, I'm salivating.
Donna was just showing Leslie on the camera some adult slushy situation that we got at our local beer distributor.
What is it's pink. What is it, what's the flavor?
It's two different things. It is wild blueberry.
Blue raspberry.
Never mind. Blue raspberry and
give me
strawberry.
Give me everything blue raspberry.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I bet that's good.
Yeah, it's delicious. And then you mix it up and it's like a fairy drink.
Want to hear a funny story about blue raspberry?
Mm-hmm. Always.
I would like to preface by saying that this is some sensitive content.
Oh.
On my part. But anyways.
Yeah, if there are children in the room, please have them leave.
There's this ice cream place in my hometown. God, I forget the name of it now. Crap. But they have a seasonal ice cream called Blue Moon.
Uh-huh.
Which is ultimately blue raspberry. And I went through a major Blue Moon kick for a long period of time and had to have one of those every day at lunch because it was just like a block away from where I used to work. So I was like, well, screw it. I'm just going to go.
Hell yeah.
And when, like, after, like, you know, well, actually, I think it was like the first time that I did it. It was pretty quickly after I'd had it. Actually, it might have been like where I was having it like every other day. So the first week, I remember turning around and looking down in the bathroom after I had made it number two. And I thought,
it's a Smurf poop.
Like,
Smurf
why
poop.
Is it green?
Oh, it's green.
It was like green. And I started to get very concerned. Very
oh,
concerned.
That's funny.
And I was racking my brain and asking my sister, have you ever pooped green before? You know? And then we narrowed it down to the blue raspberry food coloring.
That is funny. Oh, man.
I still kept getting them, though, I tell you.
Well, I mean, you know what it does, so you don't need to worry about it. It's still delicious.
Well, it's like beet poop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like beet poop. Yeah.
Exactly.
Boy, isn't it disconcerting though? Like you had beets the night before and then the next morning you do your thing and you're like, oh wait, oh my God, what? Right. I had beets last night. Right.
Oh, what goes in must come out.
Yep.
Cycle of life.
It is the cycle of life. It's true.
Anyway, sorry
That's
about
great.
That.
No, for, great story. I fucking love it.
Anyway, allowing me to, be foolish. So anyway,
that's wonderful.
What do we got going on today, Allison?
Well, I thought we could do some crystal talk.
Okay.
Talking about chitty chatting about crystals. Cause I know that you've got a lot of, interface with those wonderful stone friends, and I have some experience as well. And honestly, like I said before we started recording, I'm surprised we haven't done this one yet.
Yeah,
because it's go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say it's just been like salt and peppered throughout, like questions and stuff, but we've never really dedicated. Really?
Yeah, so. Yeah. So I guess, you know, I can start it off by asking you. You know, we're recording this on April 27th, 2020. Yes. And what are your touchstone crystals right now? What are you digging on? Who's whispering in your ear?
We got some friends here.
What's she showing
me? These are the guys that I've been. Yeah, because I'm kind of. I'll show you who I'm hanging out with currently.
Who's it going to be?
I'll show you who is on my working windowsill. Well, I have larvacite here, which is a palm stone.
It's gorgeous.
Pretty. Do you have a piece of larvacite?
I do.
Yeah, it's got this beautiful blue flash, and it's got a beautiful blue flash, and larvacite is a dark stone, a nice palm stone, and I like a palm stone for holding in my hand, meditation. Mm-hmm. I can slide it into my back pocket if I want to carry it with me for the day. Sometimes they're called pillows, which I think is cute, and sometimes they're also called a soapstone because it can look like a bar of soap.
A
fancy soap, some of those fancy little soaps that you see. And larvacite is very grounding and very protective. Anytime that I read with selenite and blue kyanite. And selenite helps to keep my deck cleansed, charged. And blue kyanite is very helpful when delivering messages. So I like to utilize it for that. It helps me to kind of segue any likes and ums and stumbling over my words, and it helps me to kind of get that message out clear. And it's really great for the throat chakra as well. And selenite, for being as lovely as it is for cleansing and charging as one of its kind of functions, it also is tapped in with the Greek goddess Selene. Yeah, but I'm always Greek and Roman. I always get them. I've been studying up on my gods and goddesses, my Greek and Roman gods and goddesses. But anyway, so yeah, the goddess Selene, so moon energy, can connect in with your loved ones and guides and stuff. I got this big old.
Whoa.
This is a crystal bigger than your head.
It's true. It's a point.
It's a crystal point, and I like points because you can use them like wands. You can direct your energy out of the tip. So it's to be understood that the energy radiates out of a crystal wherever kind of the point is. So if you have a big quartz point, it's going to radiate out of there. If you have a double terminated, it's going to radiate out of both ends. If you have a cluster, it kind of radiates out of all over. And those are really great for like community cluster work. I have so many friends here. Spears, great. Talk to me. What?
Well, I got a question.
Yeah, sure.
So are you... are you kind of like at this point, it's like spices in a spice cabinet? Like,
yeah.
I'm going to pick what I am going to use for the day because of its purpose? Or is it also like you're intuitively going to have that stone be like, hey, I want to be with you today? And you're like, okay, little buddy. Or is it a combination of both?
It's or a combination of both. Yeah. No, it's absolutely a combination of both. Like I have malachite with me, and malachite is really helpful during this time because it helps us kind of go through transformations. And it's really great for the heart center energy. But yeah, I mean, like this little weird amethyst guy just won't leave me alone.
He's kind of sweet.
Yeah. It's like a little, there's so many interesting things, and shape really is, you know, people always ask, how do I cleanse? What do the shapes mean? And so, like I said, a general rule of thumb is that it's going to radiate out of the point that's in the crystal. And if it's a sphere, it's going to radiate 360 degrees. So it's just this constant like orb of energy. People ask questions like raw versus tumbled, right?
It's personal preference, right?
Yeah. 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 And I think like I have this raw piece of chrysoprase.
Beautiful.
Which I love, which is like the, you know, every, you know, good health, good wealth, prosperity, right? Hashtag prosperity and abundance.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of good things. And it's this beautiful, like milky green sort
almost
of
like seafoam. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Mm-hmm. Very probably, you know, good for the heart as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, some people actually prefer to just only work with raw stones. Mm-hmm. But I feel like tumbled, yeah, absolutely preference. But then tumbled too, I like to take tumbled in to the bath with me. And I think with tumbled stones, you can make more gem elixirs.
Mm-hmm. You find them to be more powerful in that way or than the raw stuff?
Well, I don't want to put, I mean, I guess you could do an indirect method with the raw, but I like if I, for example, if I'm making like an amethyst water,
sure,
I know that I can put my polished amethyst in water, and so I can use a direct method with my amethyst. And mm-hmm. and just so you guys know, like always, definitely Google, is this safe to be put? You know, should I use an indirect method or a direct method? Do you want to talk about indirect method?
Well, for essences? Sure, absolutely. So, direct method means that you are applying the crystal or flower directly to the water that then eventually you're going to consume. And the water is going to take on the vibrations and energetic imprint of that crystal or flower or what have you. And like you just said, Leslie, some stones are super unsafe for us to ingest. And then others like selenite can just totally evaporate into water, you know, it kind of mm-hmm. like breaks down, and that's super harmful to the stones. So indirect method means that you can put your crystal or flower, what have you, into a small kind of vessel and then put that inside of your water so that the little being is going to emanate and resonate, and the water is going to take on the spiritual imprint of that thing. But the water itself isn't going to affect or touch the stone. And then that makes it safe
yeah.
for stone and you, which is yeah. a win-win. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would say like when in doubt, always do an indirect method. I do mm-hmm. know for a fact that your quartz, mm-hmm. rose quartz,
yep.
amethyst, and smoky are safe to go in the water.
That's right. Directly. And clear. Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So, but I like to use a lot of, so I like the polished for that reason, mm-hmm. because, you know, I'm making a water that I will like sort of marinate overnight, drink in the morning.
And so the idea is that the polished stone is going to have any kind of finite particles removed from the surface,
mm-hmm.
right? And then exactly. there's like less of a risk of having those little bits in the water. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got it.
Now
you got it.
I get it. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can take your raw stones into the bath with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a problem. You can absolutely do that. But I also still like to take my polished stones into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about cleansing for a minute.
Yeah.
So
there's so many ways.
There's so many ways. Mm-hmm. You want to share a couple that you know?
Sure. Well, selenite, which we've spoken about a lot, that's actually who I have with me today as well. That's who I've been working with. I like selenite because it doesn't need to be cleansed. Now, certainly, you know, I have loved on it and kind of, you know, fumigated it with some sacred herbs and things like that. But inherently it has its own energy source, so it doesn't need to be cleansed. It is a cleanser. So I have some discs and some selenite bowls that I like to put things on to charge and, you know, wipe off any kind of excess, you know, negative energy off of something. And then, you know, running the things through smoke, you know, sacred smoke, sacred plants, you know, obviously mugwort forever, but cedar, lavender, juniper, What else is really great? Kitchen sage is really great. Rosemary is really great cleanser. What do you think, Liz? Anything else you like to use?
Yeah, I like to sing to them. Like I'll hold it and I'll go la.
Aww.
Or I'll ring a bell over it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, sound.
Sound.
Sound is a good cleanser. It's good sound, for your house sound, to do that sound. Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll do that in and you can bury them.
Have you ever accidentally put a crystal in your mouth when you sang to it?
No. Allison, have you?
No.
No.
Have you, Allison?
No, I haven't.
I will hold it. I'll hold it to my heart and be, you know, kind of imbue it with gratitude. I've done that also. Sometimes like my quartz points, I'll run through a flame really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Again, like you can bury them in the dirt.
Yep. Running
overnight,
water.
Like in a pouch or something. Mm-hmm. If you just want to, yep. Running water. Again, just making sure like malachite's a no-no, blue kyanite, black mm-hmm. tourmaline.
Selenite.
So you want to be careful.
Yep.
Selenite. And the reason being is because they are layered. They're right. Layers. And those layers will start to break down. And selenite is actually a type of like sandstone mm-hmm. in a way.
Hmm.
And if you were to look at, and I have like just a slab of selenite, it looks like a slab of ice. So anyway, ways to cleanse. Lots of ways to cleanse. Sometimes I'll just put mine out on the windowsill in the sunlight. Mm-hmm. Some now you need to be careful for with discoloration. So I wouldn't keep it there more than 24 hours mm-hmm. or even, I'm telling you, even just 6 to 8 hours in the sun is mm-hmm. more than enough.
And then of course the dark moon.
Oh yeah. Charging
cleanser.
Them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I like to think of the moons for charging.
Okay.
So sometimes I'll tell people like if they want a full day's work with their stones to leave them on the windowsill the day of a full moon and then let them charge in the full moon overnight and then gather them in the morning.
Gorgeous.
So that's also an option.
The full cycle. I love it.
Yeah. And then we talked about like your dark stones, like black tourmaline, smoky quartz, larvacite, pneumite, jet are really helpful to mm-hmm. be charged in the new moon, dark moon.
Mm-hmm. I have a story for you.
Okay.
I had one of the jet palm stones from your store. I think this was like 2 years ago now. I was at work. And I had left one of the jets on the windowsill in the sunlight. And I got a text message from Donna that said, when I came into it was in our bedroom. So when she came into our bedroom, the jet split in two and one of the pieces was on the floor. And one of the pieces was still like on the windowsill as though it was never touched. Isn't that wild?
Whoa. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting because jet is actually a fossilized
petrified wood.
Yeah. It's really
and it
light.
Wasn't
so interesting.
It's very interesting. I still have it. It's been, you know, my sense of it was that its work was done, but it was very strange for that to happen. And so I have kept it in a muslin bag in some salt just to kind of, you know, hold on to it. And I do intend to give it back to the earth mm-hmm. at some point soon. But
yeah, so somebody just messaged me about that today on the site, like when your stones break. And we've mentioned that a couple times on here too. And you just shared that means that it's kind of done its job. And so I think we've also then, because I told this person today, I'm like, bury it. Mm-hmm. Take it to the river.
Yeah.
You know,
take
whatever.
Take me to the river.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's a cool story about jet. Okay. Another thing I like to share with people about crystals is that, you know, a lot of people think, well, what the heck am I supposed to do with this? You know, and I always say, in this whole process, right, number one, let your stone choose you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you might be like, hey, I'm coming in for this amethyst, but this pyrite just keeps looking at me. Like, I really feel like I need to have it. Great. Bring it home. Mm-hmm. It's chosen you for something. But then what I tell people is that you have to activate the stone.
Yes, you do.
You can't just, yeah. This is not a home decor item. This is not to be a bookend or to be put on your shelf. This is something that you are using and that you are working with, just like a house plant.
That's right.
You need to nurture this thing. And so in activating it, I always tell people to kind of hold it in your hand and set an intention. And that intention is going to be connected to what this stone already naturally likes to do. So for example, amethyst, right? I want to work with my third eye. I want to build up my intuition. I want to remember my dreams. I want to lucid dream more. These are some of the attributes in the metaphysical gifts that amethyst will bring to us. So you want to come home and you want to sit with amethyst and say, I am going to take care of you by keeping you near me, keeping you in my pocket, working with you. And you're going to help me to, you know, kind of enlighten, open up my third eye, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you definitely want to see, it's like programming your phone. You don't just bring your phone home and sit it down. You know, you open it up, you take it out, you personalize it, you put your contacts in, you set an intention with it, you know, so.
Agreed.
Really working with it, mm-hmm. I think is the most important thing.
Yeah. I also think asking its permission too, yeah. Because I've taken home some things and it does not want to, it doesn't want me. And that's cool. You know, I'm not like upset about it at all. But I end up, you know, gifting it to other people because it's like, girl, no thanks. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Thank you. Bye. Sorry. I brought you home. Wasn't paying attention.
You said something a while back on one of the podcast episodes about how we talked about switching up crystals. Like sometimes they're just like, all right, I've had enough like hanging out with black tourmaline. Like
totally.
Switch it up.
We need to break up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. Man. I've been really grooving with Apophyllite lately, which is what I have is a point with a flat bottom, and Apophyllite is a clear, super bright, shiny stone, and it has a whole lot of angelic grace attributed to it. And boy, don't we need more grace right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Apophyllite is so special.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites, and it loves to be in high energy places. Mm-hmm. So we have ours in the kitchen because it just loves to be like zipping and zinging and part of the action. Mm-hmm. And
she's a party girl.
She is a little, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she, you know, I mean, she just
high vibe though.
What are you guys doing? You know, And Apophyllite is 70% water. So you, very often you can see like a lot of prisms in your Apophyllite tips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one definitely has a whole lot of flash in it.
I love it.
Yeah,
very celestial, very angelic.
Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be surprised, but good old Smokey.
Look who you
smoky
got.
Smokey quartz.
Look at good old Smokes.
I've got a Smokey quartz pendant that... a woman named Kim had made for me. I think she goes by Wildthorn on Instagram. She's an artist and a jeweler, and she had sent me one of her pieces. And I love smoky quartz so much. I feel like it's my birthstone. Like I just feel like
Yeah, you are connected to it.
I just can't get enough. I could have smoky quartz all over my house all the time and I'd be happy.
That's how I am. Smokey was one of my first loves too. Oh. My brother-in-law bought me a Smokey quartz necklace at the Grateful Dead concert in Buckeye Lake.
Oh.
1989.
Sunshine daydream.
Mm-mm. Oh, baby. And it had like this spiraled Fimo on top.
Oh, hell yeah. R.I.P. Jerry.
I loved that thing. Mm-hmm. And I lost it. I don't know where it went, but, you know, there it goes.
There it goes.
Okay. And that's the thing you'll come to find out, too, with your journey with stones. You'll just be like, you know what? I'm a quartz person, and all I want is quartz. Like, if I had to choose one, oh, God, it would be hard, but...
It would be hard. It's like
definitely the quartz family. I love.
They're just so varied. There's a ton that you can do with them. Not just, you know, have them in your house. Spell work.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Crystal grids.
Crystal grids. Yep. Crystal grids are when you choose different crystals for specific reasons and lay them out in a geometric pattern. And you can,
yeah, Donna, you'd dig this.
Yeah, you would really. Yeah, in like a sacred geometry sort of situation.
Yeah.
First of all, they're stunning. They're visually beautiful.
Like mandalas.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you can charge things in the center of them, which is super cool. You can also do, candle spell work in the middle of them as well. And what they're doing is they're going to amplify any kind of spell work. And I mean, not just, you know, in crystal grids, but in general, I would say, you know, having them present during ritual is super helpful. And you want to choose them with intention, of course.
Yeah.
Just like with everything. Yeah, but, you know, just having, you know, certain ones on your altar, you know, like I just rebuilt my working altar recently. And this time around, I'm working with the energy of spring. And so I have some stones on there for personal protection, some stones on there for fertility and abundance, and, you know, like organization, you know, because, you know, having a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of pots on the stove means you got a lot of stuff to tend to and watch. And so your mind needs to be sharp when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But something that I think is often forgotten is that you can wear them and, you know, in any kind of jewelry and earrings. You know, I gauged my earlobes specifically so that I can wear stones all the time on my person without having to have like a bracelet or a ring or a necklace or whatever. So, you know, you can be really intentional with your jewelry.
Yeah, well. And that's how jewelry started, actually.
Exactly.
Because people wanted to carry the energy of the sapphire or the amethyst or the ruby or the emerald, right? Mm-hmm. They weren't just for crowns.
Diamonds.
Right, diamonds. They were about, you know, like, you know, yeah, amber. I've been reading this book called Circe, and it's about, again, Greek mythology, but... Helios, her father Helios, gifts her mother with this beautiful amber necklace, ooh, you know, to carry the energy of amber, which is very, you know, sun, sole, you know, solar plexus energy. But yeah, that's also talisman and adornment via your crystal stones.
I feel like I dreamed this, but this might be a thing. I think they make eyeglasses out of crystals now.
That would be really cool.
Wouldn't that be rad? You know what? Somebody needs to do that if they don't.
Quartz crystal on your phone.
That's right. You can put a quartz, like the fucking poppets or whatever.
No.
Poppet socks.
Like,
what?
Like part of the central processing unit has quartz crystal in it.
Leslie!
What?
I didn't know that!
What?
Wow.
Our electronics are comprised of crystals. Because we have to remember that crystals are like a central processing unit. Mm. They absolutely are. They hold, like, for example, Desert Diamond. I sometimes call it like the pensive in Harry Potter. It can hold, you can like program it with your memories and it can hold that energy.
She just put the crystal right up against her lips and started like moving her lips around on it. It's so sweet.
Tell it a secret.
I love it. That's so cool.
There was something else I wanted to say that's important. Oh, gridding your home.
Oh my gosh, duh. Yes.
Like cleansing your home space. Yep. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll cleanse my home space and then I'll do quartz, crystal, wand, point, doesn't matter. It can be a little nugget. Yep. This doesn't have to be a big, gorgeous piece. It can be a little nugget. And you put it in the four farthest corners of your home. So if you even like put it in your basement corners, that's fine. But what it does is creates a crystal pyramid over your house, over your home.
Wow.
Do you know that?
I did. Yeah. I actually did that with black tourmaline dust.
You can, right.
And so you can do it for different things.
I'll put black tourmaline on my windowsills, but then you can also grid your home doing like the quartz and then black tourmaline, selenite, black tourmaline. So you can kind of go all around.
Oh, girl. Your home. Ooh, I love this.
Too. Yeah. So gridding your home that way. Gridding, you know, I keep all of my rose quartz stones when I'm not using them in our bedroom as like an altar of love and healing. I have ruby, emerald, and rose quartz. I have mango calcite in there, all of my loving, sweet, kind, compassionate stones.
Same. I do the same thing.
See?
And we have rose quartz under the bed too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Oh, the sky's the limit with this. And there's so many different rocks, so many stone friends that we can work with.
One thing, once I kind of get back out and we get this quarantine lifted, I want to bring more obsidian mirror into the shop for scrying, which I think is really, really important. So you can use obsidian for scrying as well in terms of divination. And the crystal ball, duh, right?
That's right. That's right. Obsidian's one of my favorites too.
Yeah.
That's the one I work with the most because that is what I wear in my ears.
Oh, is it? As a protector. You have labradorite too, don't you?
I do, but I don't wear those as much anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm on an obsidian kick right now.
I do love obsidian.
Yeah.
And yeah, smoking obsidian. Those are two that you work with a lot.
It's true.
Love it.
I do too. So nice.
I would say I'm a fluorite junkie. There's no doubt about it.
I would agree with you. You're definitely a fluorite junkie. Donna has a lot of fluorite too.
She's got good fluorite taste.
She does.
I've seen some of those fluorite pieces she has.
It's true.
I do. I love fluorite.
Fluorite is a looker. That might be part of it because it's visually stunning.
Yeah. And it can capture these beautiful lilac colors, which I love. I have a couple really special, just beautiful lilac pieces.
Gorgeous.
Oh, okay. God. So many things to say about it.
Well, I think that was a nice little
start. But send in your questions, you guys. Let's talk more about crystals.
Anonymous from Instagram. Hi, Hags. I hope this is a correct way to submit questions. Yes, it is. Absolutely. but I've been very curious about something I've been going through this past year as the anniversary is coming up on April 3rd. Last year, I was stressed out and depressed from my job to the point I was getting seizures from stress. When it got to the point I knew I had to leave my career, and I did. So then I started up a new job and broke my leg 3 days into it. I felt like a big idiot on my third day, but it was so bad of a break that I'm out of work and still learning how to walk again almost 1 year later. I've had 3 surgeries since. Since this has happened, I have felt so powerfully drawn to my path as a witch, something that I have always delved into, but was very in the closet about, to the point that I eventually rejected it completely. It's been liberating for me to embrace this part of myself since my injury. I'm in the process of starting my own business. Literally everything has been looking up. I spoke to an astrologer not too long ago, and before he even knew about my injury or current work situation, he asked me if I was dealing with any health or work issues from the first week of April. I said yes, and explained to him what happened to me. This is where things get weird. He told me that I'm a Sagittarius, which rules the legs, and my moon is in Aries in the 6th house of health and work. On the day of my injury, Chiron, in mythology, Chiron is struck down by an arrow to the leg, passed through my 6th house. I fact-checked everything he told me, and it was all correct. I'm paraphrasing, of course, because this is getting to be a long question, but what I'm really asking is, do you think there's divine intervention when we're just not doing the right thing? Hell yes.
Yes. And I'm here to talk about it.
That's right. That's it. Yeah. I mean,
That's the tower. To me, that's the tower. It's like you've had, you know, the tower in tarot. It's like you've had so many opportunities to make the change. And finally, to me, the tower is like, all right,
girl,
I'll make a change for you.
Let's push you from the nest.
Not going to be fun, but you're going to be thankful for it at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think divine intervention, too, can be interpreted in so many different ways. Some would say God got involved. Some would say, you know, your spirit team kind of helped push you along. I do think there's something to be said for the inner workings of astrology and your chart and what's happening in the skies. I don't think that we'll ever, as human beings, able to put our finger down and say, aha, this is it. This is what's going on. This is what's driving this. I think it's probably a mashup of lots of different, you know, spiritual entities, aspects, influences that, you know, make things happen in our lives. But yeah, definitely. This is for sure spiritual enlightenment, if you will.
Yeah. You know, and let's talk about Chiron a little bit. And I am not an astrologer.
Me neither.
Although it is in my family. Mm-hmm. But Chiron is the wounded healer.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels as though through this anonymous, you got, you know, obviously wounded, but then really came into your personal healing, your personal ritual. You came back to a part of self that has been deep within you. And I'm probably going to assume, although you haven't really shared with us, that you're going to take this work that you've learned in this period of time and utilize it in your business. Whether you're going to be a healer yourself or you're offering some kind of coaching or some kind of, I'm not quite sure or what it is you're going to be doing, but it feels like this was all about getting you on your path mm-hmm. to being of service in your community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's, some would say, I don't know what is the common term for this, but a lot of people go through physical health crises when they are spiritually leveling up.
Mm-hmm.
I did. A lot of other people do. There's, you know, a long history in shamanic cultures with this sort of experience happening for holy people, for people who are, you know, serving their community in spiritual ways. For me personally, it when your physical body needs attention, your spiritual body is a part of that process too. You know, it's almost as though the world has completely fallen away and you don't have any choice. You have to listen to yourself at that point. Everything else, it doesn't really matter. You've got to tend to your leg. You've got to work on your, you know, stability. You've got to work through pain and discomfort, you know, and pain and discomfort is a big teacher for a lot of mm-hmm. us. It shows us our strength and our resistance. And those are two really important aspects of a spiritual practice. So hell yes to leveling
hell
up.
Yes.
Hell
yeah.
Yes to leveling up. Good job.
Hell yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm glad that it feels as though you're kind of on that path now. And it is so cool to look back on that and be like, holy crap. Like there's a reason for all of this.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. So we have Maria from Maryland. Hello, amazing witches. Your podcast has been life-changing for me personally. I have not known anything about modern witchcraft practices until I fatefully met your neighbor, Samira, yoga studio owner, at an ashram retreat. Aw. Since then, I've been reading, listening to you, and watching everything falling into place in my life. It sounds crazy, but I feel like this is something I was meant to do for a long time. I'm 44, a physician, a mom. Being a physician gives me an opportunity to also try and integrate some of these practices, and ultimately my goal is that, but I have so much to learn. My question, I feel overwhelmed by information and honestly my own drive to do this. My ancestry, I feel, has a huge role in this.
My mother is Ukrainian, and we have a very strong tradition of herbal medicine witchery. I grew up with Baba Yaga tales. My great-grandfather was Gypsy, and I feel very drawn to that as well. My father is Bolivian, coming from Quechua and Aymara people. I hope I said that correctly. And I feel connected to them as well. When I meditate and ask for them, I feel a strong presence from all sides, but feel unprepared to actually receive their messages, not educated enough. I also recently learned about the witch wound and feel that this is the cause of some of this block and insecurity. Is it okay to draw from these traditions and mix them all my way? How do I stay focused and on track? Is it possible to have a mentor witch, someone who would actually teach you hands-on? It is mostly books and reading, right? I'm sorry for the length of the question. Whatever you can answer is appreciated. I think we've got some things to share here, right, Allison?
We sure do. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I totally understand feeling, and this is my interpretation of your question, you might be feeling a little bit messy when it comes to all of your ancestors kind of chitty-chatting at you, and, you know, what to pull from and as far as traditions and things like that. I get that. And what my advice to you would be is to start with folklore. Folklore has been something that can be a touchstone. Whenever you're not quite sure which path to take as far as your education is concerned, folklore, all these old stories, they were all passed down as an oral tradition and then eventually were written down. So they are all extremely old and have a lot to teach us as far as symbolism and mythology. And what I would do is do research on the different, you know, folk tales of your ancestors and see which ones resonate with you the most, and that's where you start. By doing research and seeing what resonates with you the most and choosing that as your starting place doesn't, you know, leave the rest of your ancestry in the dust. It's just, it's kind of like training wheels. And it really helps you to feel less overwhelmed by all the information, because when you're meditating and you're asking them for, you know, for them to show up, they're all crowding around in the room. And if you're sensitive, which it sounds like you are, my dear, it's really, really distracting and really hard to pay attention to each and every one of them. And I know I can tell from your questions, you know, that you really want to pay attention and love every single one of them. But, you know, it's hard. It's hard to figure out, you know, where to start. So that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that you can absolutely mix them up, because that's who you are. Witchcraft is personal. It is deeply personal. People who are practicing specific traditions still add aspects of themselves to those traditions. So if you want to pull in some Ukrainian magic and some Bolivian magic and stir it all up into your little pot, hell yes, do it, because it's your own practice. And by doing that, you are acknowledging your ancestors and their presence in your life. You can find teachers. I mean, I don't know. I know you said that you live in Maryland. I'm not really sure how you'd be able to find someone practicing, you know, magical traditions from your ancestry, but there, you know, it is possible. So maybe start asking spirit to lead you to a good teacher. But there's nothing wrong with doing reading and, you know, and kind of like figuring it out yourself. That's what I've done. Mm-hmm. Along the way. What do you think, Leslie?
Yeah, I think like really reading to start is super smart. It allows you to go at your pace. You also mentioned too about, you know, I feel a strong presence from all sides, but feel unprepared to actually receive their messages. You said not educated enough. You don't have to read a ton of books to receive a message.
Absolutely
I just need
not.
To say that, you know?
Yeah.
But what you can do,
you can ask them to go slow one at a time because it is so overwhelming. Just because it feels like, you know, I would even, like, when you're choosing a book, stop, listen if you're getting a yes or no from them. Like, should I read this? Is this the book you want me to read? Right? Should I?
Yeah.
And a yes I love is usually that. Like a whoosh of, whew, like, you know, for me, I think yes and no's are generally similar for a lot of people, but can be very personal. So listen to your body and see where you feel that yes and where you feel a no. But I think that's a really great, you know, like, because it also feels like you have such rich ancestry and there's so much to learn from, every single, wonderful mix that you have here that I would learn a little, I would try and learn as much as I can about each and Absolutely. See what feels right for you too.
Absolutely. But I do get the sense of feeling overwhelmed. So, you know,
absolutely.
I would, yeah, I love that you say that, Leslie, that you ask them which direction to go in. And I also love that you said to kind of ask them to go slow with you. I think that's really great. I've had an experience where I've had a ton of ancestors kind of like rush into the room and kind of like wave their hands at me. And you're just kind of like, you know, yes. Especially whenever you're first starting to get into this stuff and asking them to, you know, respect each other's boundaries in the room is an important thing because there can be some pushy grandmothers. You know,
and too, they're probably like, oh my gosh, Maria, we
finally
have to get to you for so long.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, they're just really excited that you're open and ready to do this. And, I'm excited for you too.
I am too. Well done, my dear. That's great.
I will say too, though, I mean, I just have to say one more thing. And I know you mentioned, I don't know about like mentor witches in the area and how you'd find them. I feel like you need to go at your own pace for a while. Mm-hmm. And I bet you're going to find that you don't need one.
Agreed. Yeah. I definitely agree with you on that. That's the sense I get too. But I mean, allow the journey to unfold however it needs to be.
If anything, I'd look for a buddy maybe at some point, somebody that you can just kind of buddy system with and check in with on their journey too. Anyway.
That's great.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Maria.
Kendall from Oregon writes, do you have any tips for safely having a fairy garden? Not at all into having one inside the home, but would love to cultivate something outside. I know the fae can be unpredictable, though, so I'm wondering what would be a good way to go about it. Thanks so much. This podcast has become such a resource and a treasure to me. Thank you, Kendall. Nice. Great question. Boundaries, my friend. Boundaries, 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 boundaries. The fae are tricksy friends, and they, as you know, have a whole lot of folklore behind their wild ways. I think the best thing to do is to set up a garden that has a lot of meadow feels to it, like not a highly polished garden. They like a lot of wildness. Now you can certainly look into garden maps and things like that, you know, create a sense of a naturalized environment, but yet it's still like a planted sort of focused human created thing. But yeah, the fae don't really like a whole lot of hedge trimming and things like that. Foxglove are really attractive to them. Hawthorn and elderberry are also really attractive to them. There's a lot of plants that have a ton of folklore and association with the fairies. So that would be something that you could do some research on. I would look into English cottage gardens and, you know, what those visually look like. You live in the Pacific Northwest, so, you know, you're going to have a pretty easy time growing a lot of those sorts of plants in your temperate zone, so to speak. So aside from the actual planting aspect of things, asking them to be there inviting them to be in your space is something that's really important. But then also making sure that you have boundaries put up, explaining to them that they, you know, that you don't want them to steal things, let's say, or play tricks on yourself or your pets. They got to behave themselves if they're going to, you know, play in your space. It's a shared space.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any experience with this, Leslie?
I used to, I don't know if you know this about me.
Tell me.
But back in my early 20s, I used to make fairy chairs.
Oh my gosh. And what is a fairy chair, my friend?
Fairy chairs were these like little wooden chairs that I used to make. Like the first prototype, I actually made it out of sticks, and then it proved a little bit. I found like an actual pre-made like wooden chair, and then I would decorate it with moss and glitter and shells and little pentagrams and feathers and
beautiful,
you know, gems.
That's so sweet.
Sorts of things. Yeah, I actually, Jean from Journeys of Life used to sell them in a shop.
Oh my gosh! Back in
my first life here. Oh my How funny God. Is that? Life in Pittsburgh.
How about that? Oh, geez.
Anyways, yeah. Mm. So I really feel like I loved the idea of an English cottage garden. I think that's the safest and best way. And then giving them offerings.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you set boundaries with them,
then you need to negotiate with them. Like they're not just going to be like, yeah, all right, I won't fuck with your cat. But if you're like, here's some butter, here's some cream.
Yep.
This is where you get to play. Mm-hmm. And these are the rules, you know? Mm-hmm.
And seasonally, there are appropriate times to add extra offerings too. One of which is coming up, right? Yes. Beltane.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I love what you am, you know, and then the reason why I brought up the fairy, she's like, create like a little space for them to hang out, right?
With
like these little chairs or like, you know, I love the fairy door. I love like bringing in like beautiful. I have a lot of like concrete mushrooms and stuff that I like to have around the garden and that kind of thing. We don't really have like our landscaped area, but so, you know, maybe bringing in things like that. Also, they might enjoy. Or a beautiful, like one of those gorgeous lawn balls.
Oh, I love yeah. Them. Those gazing balls. They're mm-hmm. so pretty. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the things. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
Good luck.
Yeah. Enjoy. Have fun with it. We have Paulina from Mexico. Paulina says, hello again, hags. First, I'd like to thank you for answering my question about the witch bottle tattoo. As soon as I get it, I will definitely send a picture. We can't wait to see it. Mm-hmm. So a couple of days ago, I dreamt about my cousin's husband who passed away a few months ago. In my dream, I was the only person that could see and speak to his ghost. He told me that my cousin was going to pay a medium so she could speak to him. He insisted on me telling her to not waste her money on that person because she was not going to be able to talk to him. This is still in my dream. I went to my cousin, gave her the message, and I offered to read up and study to see if I could learn and help her out in talking to her late husband. As I'm reading and studying, her husband's ghost comes to me again, asking if I think it will work. I say yes, and it seems simple. He answers, if this works, I would tell her that I loved her very much and to please take good care of herself. I woke up right after that, really confused. I decided to call my husband and tell her what I dreamt and give her the message that her husband told me. She was pretty surprised because she had an appointment with a medium in 2 weeks. So we were pretty freaked out. I am 100% sure her late husband made contact through my dream. I wanted to get some recommendations on how to develop this skill. Don't know how to call it exactly. Maybe some rituals I could do to open myself up more to this, plants, crystals, books that might help. I don't even know if this is something that with practice I can tune into or if it's one of those things I'm just supposed to let go. And when it comes and that's it. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your show. I learned so much from the both of you. Sending lots of love your way. And right back to you.
Back to you, Paulina. Thanks for writing in again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is so cool. Well, I would say 100%.
Yeah.
You made contact.
I would agree. Yeah. And it seems as though you're pretty natural as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, like, there are books out there about dreaming, but I think they're typically geared more towards lucid dreaming, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. whereas this feels like prophetic dreaming, which I feel that I have too. And I think, again, it's just, since you already naturally have an accordance with it, I would just work with your team.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this feels like a real connection. I like this kind of work. I feel mm-hmm. comfortable with this kind of work mm-hmm. and I'd like to do more of it. And we've talked a lot about this too, Allison, like setting intentions before you go to sleep at night. Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, I'd like some insight on this
mm-hmm.
topic, on behalf of my cousin, or, you know, and you can set intentions for that. And there are ways about doing that, right? You've mentioned like protecting yourself with a bowl of water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She talked about plants. We've got a couple wonderful plant friends, Allison. I think I know who you're going to mention.
Mugwort. mm-hmm. Yeah. Mugwort is, especially when you drink it in a tea form, in a small dose, mugwort really helps to amplify and open up the third eye, which is one of the aspects of ourselves that helps us to speak with the dead. Yarrow is another plant ally that can be really helpful for working on lucid dreaming, prophetic dreaming, those sorts of things. Any kind of astral insight, any kind of otherworldly insight, yarrow can be really helpful too. But I will say that if you choose to not just work with the energetics of these plants, but if you choose to ingest them, please make sure that they're safe for you and do some research first, you know, before you consume them. Labradorite comes to mind. Labradorite is an old friend of mine. Labradorite helps to increase powers of intuition. It's also a great dreaming stone. Of course, amethyst too can be a really great ally in this kind of work. But, you know, I think it really comes down to what Leslie said, which is, I mean, not just to agree with you constantly, but you're always right. Ask your team, you know, and just practice. You know, and also understand that sometimes these things come to us for a specific reason and purpose. And it sounds to me like your cousin and her late husband really needed to hear you speak about him and his experience and give those messages. So, be patient with yourself too, because this is a new skill.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love all of that. I think that's, I don't know of any specific books.
I don't either. Managing your psychic abilities might be a good one, but it doesn't really discuss much about, didn't she write a first book about psychic
spiritual awakening? It was a book about spiritual awakening.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. But I didn't read it though.
I haven't either. There might then be something about shamanic work that she talks about.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to do some research and see if there's anything out there. I can ask Laura too, but I think it's already in you, setting that intention to amplify, keeping your boundaries strong, definitely making sure you're protected.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this too, like, hey, maybe I don't want to dream about it tonight. Maybe I just want a good night's sleep. So, you know, setting the boundary in terms of I'm ready to engage tonight, and then setting up an altar too, because it can be like, okay, I'm going to be here in this waking world and communicate with you, and then in my sleeping world too. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Great advice.
Any of your aura quartz, any like your angel aura, titanium aura quartz, anything that's got that, like, sometimes with that aura heat treated is really great for astral travel. Mm-hmm. In some of this kind of prophetic dreaming work as well. The only argument with that is that it is a compromised stone. It is laboratory enhanced.
Mm-hmm. Not natural.
Right. Not natural, but they do have benefits, and they're absolutely beautiful. But again, labradorite, amethyst,
mm-hmm.
I think larvacite could even be very helpful too, mm-hmm. because it's about those flashes. Those flashes, anything with that flash, even your moonstone, is kind of that seen and unseen world. Is kind of what it's sharing, that there can be those glimmers. Labradorite's supposed to be like that aurora borealis, which is that other world. Mm-hmm. So there was there was you know, the folk tale goes that it was captured in the labradorite. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah. Well, good luck.
Good luck, my dear. Emily from Pennsylvania writes, "Hi, Hags. I now live in the city, but I grew up in rural Pennsylvania. I was surrounded by traditions of the PA Dutch. I saw hex signs in my grandmother's homes and have eaten many a shoe fly pie." Hell yes, I'm from Lancaster County. I know shoe fly pie. "These are emblems of nostalgia for me. I find their art beautiful in their colors and symmetry. As a baby witch, I am now learning the magical ways of their traditions. My question, is it a form of cultural appropriation for me to work with these motifs? Though my ancestry is German and I was raised commonly seeing these things, I am not PA Dutch. How can I celebrate Pennsylvania history without stealing their culture? I really appreciate your hard work on this podcast. Thank you for being so reassuring and thoughtful." Well, I'm from that area too. Born and raised in Lancaster County. I did a little bit of research into this question, and from what I could see just off of a basic Google search, is that Pennsylvania Dutch culture and German magical culture kind of blended together in a mishmash, melting pot sort of way when folks settled in that area of Pennsylvania. So Emily, you know, this is from my heart. You know, I really try my best to stay in my own lane with this sort of stuff, but I really believe that if you want to get into, the magical traditions of your heritage, it's totally cool.
Yeah.
You know, Pennsylvania Dutch, German, all that stuff it kind of bleeds together.
It really does. I couldn't agree with you more. And I almost felt like Pennsylvania Dutch was that new way of calling it, mm-hmm. this melting pot of mm-hmm. those cultures.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, do it. I mean, there's, it's a simple answer.
Not only that, but you were born and raised. So if you think about born and raised, like how many lines go back, how many generations go back of you being there, it's probably in your blood, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
what's shoe fly pie?
Shoe fly pie is a molasses based pie. And the idea of the name behind it is that because it's such high in sugar, when people would bake them and let them cool on a countertop or on a windowsill, flies would be immediately attracted to it because of the intense aroma of sugar.
Oh yeah.
Hence shoe fly pie.
I think my dad liked it.
Yeah. It's fine.
How's that song go?
Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. Because
I thought there was another one. One and a penny now, shoe fly, shoe. One and a penny now, shoe fly, shoe. I don't know. Maybe I'm making it up.
I don't know that song. That sounds familiar, though. Bone and a penny and shoe fly, phew.
I'm making some of it up.
That's great.
Something, shoe fly. Anyway. What's the other one? What
shoe fly don't bother me? That's I don't, dudes. Sorry, guys. We're getting a little off track. I don't know, but here's what I do know,
songs.
Leslie.
Please,
here's what I do know, Emily. You can absolutely study this stuff with an open heart, and there is no problem. And I say, do it.
Do it.
Do it. Cool. Thank you for writing.
Thanks, Emily. All right. We have one more question left, I believe. We've got Kelsey from West Virginia. Kelsey says, "Hello, my lovely hags."
Hello there.
Hi, Kelsey.
Hi.
Kelsey says, "I'm a baby witch currently in the process of doing research on witchcraft at large and exploring my intuition. Even as a child, I was very attracted to occult subjects and shied away from mainstream religion, but have just recently made the decision to take up the witchy lifestyle. I'm currently 26. When I was young, I would often pass by objects, it could really be anything, and know intuitively what the object felt like. weight, texture, etc. Even if it was something I had never handled previously. As I grew older, these instances became more infrequent, but even today, if I concentrate just a little, I can still do it. It feels almost like flexing a muscle. My question is this. Is it some sort of psychic ability or intuition? I've done much internet deep diving and haven't found anyone else who has experienced it. Do you know anything about this? I'd be glad of any information at all, just to know I'm not certifiably insane. Sorry for the novel, and thanks so much. Kelsey, that's clairsentience.
It is.
Claircognizance. It is a type of clair. I do that with clothing. Mm. I can know the size. I can know the measurements just by looking at it.
Hell yeah. That's quite a talent, my friends.
So claircognizance, Claire is a type of all-knowing. So how many Claires are there, Allison?
Clairvoyance, auditory, audience.
Clairsentience.
I feel like I'm getting...
Claircognizance. I'm
failing a test right now.
No, you're not. There's several.
Yeah, there's a ton.
Five. Because it's senses. Mm-hmm. Sentience is like smell, taste.
Donna said there's five, and she didn't even hear you say that. So it must be five.
They relate to the senses.
Five senses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Vision, sight, sound.
Mm-hmm.
Taste. What's she saying back there?
Touch. Taste and touch.
Yeah.
Right? So hers would be touch.
Yeah. And just all knowing, like clear knowing.
Ooh, all seeing. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What, being someone who doesn't have much of this, I guess I have clairaudience. That's
yeah. You
yes,
have
I have clairaudience. Ooh, I just saw an orb in your camera.
Oh, they're all over me right now, and that's something else I haven't really shared with a lot of people. But
well, we'll cut that part out.
Yeah,
that's between us. We'll talk about it offline.
Yeah, we'll talk about
if
it
if you want.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's fine. Anyway,
yeah. Kelsey,
what a fantastic. So, what do you do with that? I mean, I know what I do with the messages that I get, but like, what do you do with the information that you get from how a fabric feels even before you can touch it?
Well, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think as she kind of goes down her path, she'll start to learn like how that superpower can be helpful for her.
Oh, I see. I see.
But I also think that it's nudging. It's, you know, I think that a lot of times intuition, as it begins to develop, starts with the basic things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, I'm sensing a pattern here and I know. Then you can start developing it. And she's right. She says it's like flexing a muscle. It absolutely is.
Yeah, agreed.
Now she can start doing, like, I would say, Kelsey, pick up some form of divination at this point that feels good to you. Pendulum, scrying, right?
Cartomancy.
Cartomancy, tarot cards, oracle cards, runes, all that kind of stuff. Like, pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Flex those muscles. Mm-hmm. The more we use them, the easier it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's true.
What do you think? Anything else you see here?
I think that's A+.
Yeah, you're not certifiably
No,
insane.
You're not insane. Oh my gosh. No way. No way, Jose.
You're super special.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say there are a lot of people that have this kind of experience. It's just we're not talking about it so much. Except, you know, on Ask a Hag.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet she's really into like tactile functioning. Too.
Like tassels? Sure. I knew it.
I got a freshie.
Where'd you get that?
I got 60 feet.
Oh my God. Donna, Leslie got 60 feet of a new tassel.
This is like...
She's showing it to us right now. You're missing it. Wait, don't...
Look, I got
wait,
bangs!
Wait, don't... I got that done. it's all...
This is like upholstery trim.
I know what
like
it is, honey.
Put on a freaking like chair or something,
or a lamp. I would put or that a on lamp. A lamp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, you're. That reminds me of like a belly dancer costume.
Oh, I'm feeling it.
Fucking A.
Yeah. I bet, all right. Kelsey, I bet you like to touch things.
I bet you like tassels a whole lot. Fringe of any kind.
Yeah, like, let me just touch everything. Oh, my God, that's funny. All right,
my friend. Oh, well, shit. You're not going crazy. You're not insane. Flex those muscles. I'm excited to find out what you learn about yourself.
Yeah, it's so cool. Pick up a deck. Mm-hmm. Do it. You're wide open and ready. You're a sponge. Okay.
Well, I believe that's our episode this time.
Okay.
Wasn't that fun?
Wasn't it fun?
Wasn't that a good time? All right.
Yeah.
Roll the credits, as they say. The Ask a Hag podcast is produced by Donna Kyler. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever else you find your podcasts. You can be a part of this podcast, too. Leave us a voice message or question on the Anchor FM app, and we will play it on the show. And don't forget to review us on Apple Podcasts. We love 5 stars so much.
So much.
It's our favorite shape. You can find this podcast on Instagram at ask.a.hag or at askahagpodcast.com. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.
And that's a wrap.
There we go. That's how you do it.
What's going on?
Kids do it.
What's going on with these orbs? I'm really glad we don't have that issue.
I am too. Can you imagine?
Boy.
Oh, God. Jim, you're going to have to drain my glands. Get in there.
Drain my glands.
Oh, God, Jim. Someone's going to have to drain these glands for me. I can't do them alone. Somebody help.
My headphones fell off.
Oh, God, I remember. I'll never forget this one. You ready? This was a story.
Okay, I'm ready.
We would always see my grandmother every once in a blue moon. She'd sleep over at somebody's house. She'd get in trouble. And she'd leave her douche bag around.
Oh.
She had like one of those old like rubber douche bags.
Yes, she did.
And I'll never forget. All my cousins were like, Jesus Christ, nanny's fucking douche bags in the bathroom. And of course, single one of us were like, no, oh man, I gotta check this out for myself.
No way.
Then we had a real riot over that.
Of course
she
did.
I'll never forget. She was getting older and we were over at her house and I was snooping around upstairs looking for vintage clothes.
Sure.
And I heard her say, well, Susan, somebody's gonna have to douche me or I'm gonna itch. And I was like, I'm going out the back door.
I'm out of here.
Good luck, Mom.
Peace.
It was one of those things I was like, huh? Did I just hear that correctly? Got in the car and I was like, I'm not douching her, Suze. It's all
I'm gonna get
you.
Real itchy.
You're the daughter. My mom goes, let her itch.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
revenge is sweet.
Oh, Nanny, I hope you're not itching now.
I'm really grateful that that's kind of not really a thing anymore.
Yeah. Douching. You know? I did it a little bit when I was like a teenager because I thought.
Yeah. Well, Nanny did it.
Right.
So.
That's what she needed to do.
Yeah.
And then I remember like
what
after.
In the world?
Are they still digging holes?
Look at their little trolley. His little wagon outside. Look how cute he is. He's got cement and. Or maybe it's that tar. What's that?
Do we need to wait, cutie? All right.
It's showtime.
Is it happening?
It's happening.
Hot stuff. Happening. All right. So, ask a hag. Yeah. All right.